Good morning. Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate all of you for tuning in today's show. Today is Sunday, October 30th, 2016. I'm Scott Lohman. Today, Hertzy Hertz and Dan Hansen are interviewing George Ratliff. We welcome listener interaction during the live show with your phone calls to 952-946-6205 and your emails to radio at mnatheist.org. Every year during the Halloween season, churches around the country create and perform events called Hell Houses. These are rooms where performers are doing scenarios that try and show an explicit conservative Christian point of view on life, politics, and converting people to their religion. George Ratliff is a film director who's directed Joshua and Salvation Boulevard. Hell House came out in 2002 and follows people at a Texas church and how they did their Hell House. You can find links and program archives on the Minnesota Atheist website. George Ratliff, Hertzy Hertz, and Dan Hansen, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Hi, thanks.
So thanks so much for joining us today, George. Really appreciate it.
You bet.
I guess, you know, it's Halloween, so of course it's a topical sort of show here. I just recently saw Hell House for the first time, and I have a lot of questions for you. I guess the first one that starts is, you know, what can you tell me a little bit about yourself and how this film came about?
Well, I grew up in Amarillo, Texas, which is, you know, wildly conservative and extremely extremely, you know, religious, but specifically a wave of Christian evangelism. Came across it kind of when I was coming of age. You know, there was every kind of youth group unleashed. When I was growing up, there was Young Life and K-Life and Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Campus Crusaders, and it was kind of all happening, and so I was caught up in it.
Were you religious yourself, your upbringing?
My dad was an atheist in Amarillo, Texas, which is a very lonely road to take.
Right.
And I'm the youngest of five, and everyone else was really caught up in the fervor.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all, you know, part of this sort of, you know, we were all Christians. And and I was until I was around, I was in college, and I kind of thought my way out of it. But, you know, I've been obsessed with its impact on the culture and how it's changed the country, and I've always wanted to do a documentary about it, but it's too big to sort of capture. And when I came across Hell Houses, I felt like it was kind of a microcosm of the whole thing and could be told in, you know, a story in a movie format and kind of reflect all of this movement.
Interesting. So did you actually go to a Hell House when you were young, or is this something you came across later in life? How did that work?
Yeah, no, I did not. I actually read about this particular Hell House in the paper, and it had gotten a lot of news and 1999, mm-hmm. because it was one of their skits. I mean, essentially what Hell House is they create scenes of contemporary sin that are kind of, you know, scary. And you go through, instead of like scenes of ghosts or goblins or zombies, it's like a scene of a kid in a drunk driving accident, or a girl who's died having an abortion. And so during these scenes, a kid will die, that a demon will come and steal them and take them off to hell, and then, you know, you as a group go to the next scene. And every scene, some kid sins, and then he dies and is taken off to hell.
So this isn't this isn't ghosts and vampires. This is a morality play, basically.
Exactly. They're kind of like Jack Chick sort of morality plays, and they're, you know, they're crazy. There's a rave scene where they, you know, they dance, and then someone gets dosed with you know, a dragon dies or kills herself after she's raped, and they're horrible little you know scenes. But no, I read about this, and in 1999 they had recreated the Columbine Massacre, which was, you know, in particularly bad taste, and
so
news organizations came from all over the country to cover that, and so it was kind of big news. And that's when I was first introduced to Hell Houses.
Speaking of Jack Trick, have you heard the news on him?
Yeah, that's crazy, right? Yeah, he died last week.
Yeah, actually, we mentioned him in a previous show that Dan and I did with our friend Mahad about Dungeons and Dragons and how it was the big satanic panic. And so it was kind of interesting to see that come up again.
Yeah. Yeah. That was I saw that online somewhere. Yeah, it's crazy.
What was the process of? Was it difficult to get the people to work with you? You sort of followed around one of the pastors of this. It was Trinity Church, correct? And was it difficult to get access? What did they think about you like being there and filming all this?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, they that year of the Columbine Massacre, there were news crews that descended upon the place, so there was tons of news crews. So I came, was just kind of part of one of many, and it was just me and a cinematographer collaborator that I work with named Judd Metney. And we went to the Hell House. We're only there, like, on Halloween was a Saturday. We went and we shot. We went through several times and shot just on video. And then the next day, we went to their church and filmed their church and then interviewed the master because I was interested in the theology that kind of thinks this is a good idea. It's a very medieval kind of concept that they're going after.
Right.
It's, like,
right.
You know, scary. And so I really kind of got a lot of bigger sort of interviews with them talking about the genesis of this because they claim they invented this too.
Oh, really?
And so then I put together like a 10-minute documentary that I used to raise money for the feature documentary that I made, but I also sent that to the church, and they actually liked it.
Okay.
I mean, because it was the first time anyone had asked them about what they believed.
Wow.
You know? And because everyone else, it was like these two-minute, like, stories about the Columbine Massacre and how horrible that was, that they're recreating that. But I kind of got into the theology of, like, why they put this on. And, you know, documentary is kind of funny that you know, we can watch it and see one thing, and someone else can watch it and think that, you know, it reflects because they're saying what they're saying, and they believe what they're saying, and they think it reflects their reality. So they're okay with it, and so they liked that little 10-minute short, and they gave me full access to shoot them the following year, and so I moved to Dallas, and I was there shooting for 4 months.
May I ask, what did you find the most surprising part about filming this documentary?
Well, when I was there, just those 2 days, the year of the Columbine scene, there was this father. Basically, they get their biggest, scariest guys, and they are the demon tour guides. And within this Hell House, you know, in this sort of giant play that they put on, and one of the demon tour guides would say, "I'm just here for my daughter. These guys are crazy." And so he was kind of my inside man, you know, that I sort of identified, and he would show me around and tell me things. But the year that passed from that year to the following year, his whole life had changed, and now he was really deep into the church. And so that was, he became a big character in the feature film.
Was that Jim Hennessy then? or the?
No, that was John Castor. He was sort of that big guy with the
four kids,
the
children.
Three kids, yep. Making okay. breakfast for his kids. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, he was actually a very yeah. interesting character to watch during that, with how religion played in his life with raising his kids. Like when his littlest is having a seizure, and he goes, "I prayed and it stopped." And it was like, "Yes, but seizures also, yeah, they do that on their own."
I know. I mean, you see, to me, I look at that and I see, isn't it crazy how they associate that? And other people sit and they go, "Oh my God, it's a miracle!" And it's. You know, this is the so many things about the movie, like really show the main kind of problem with this is that this giant leap of faith that they have into the unknown, you know,
the absolute
that
morality.
That they associate these two, you know, the cause and effect so loosely and ascribe it to God is it's crazy.
I think that one of the things that I enjoyed was how you treated everybody. Because, I mean, you were actually seemed to be very compassionate.
And we can talk about that when we get back from the break, because we're coming up on our first commercial break. So please stay with us through the break. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club, undoubtedly the coolest and most romantic new restaurant in the Twin Cities. Upscale casual dining by Chef Ben. Live music daily in our two unique music venues. The best local artists in our lounge, where there's never a cover charge. And our Dunsmore Listening Room, featuring world-class artists performing on the Bösendorfer Grand Piano. Visit croonerslounge.mn.com for more information. Voted the 2016 Best Throwback Venue in Minnesota by the Star Tribune.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly. Plus, our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Scott Lohman. If you have a comment or a question, please call us at 952-946-6205 or send an email to radio at mnatheist.org. George Ratliff, welcome back to Atheist Talk.
Thanks.
So, George, I was starting to say that I really thought the way that you approached this, I really enjoyed it because you did seem to be very compassionate, but at the same time, I couldn't help feel like you're also just giving them enough rope to just hang themselves in some ways too. Like you weren't forcing them into saying things or doing anything, but you just kind of, you know, left it there. And I just thought that was a really interesting way to go about it.
Well, thanks. I feel like that's important. I don't like watching sort of diatribes of the documentarian's point of view drilled into me. And so I was kind of trying to let them tell their story as much as possible themselves. And so there's no voiceover narration in the documentary. It's kind of more verite style, but I think it's a very funny documentary too. Mm-hmm. But it's very strange. The documentary plays quite differently depending on the audience every time.
I bet.
So I have a quick question. You brought up Columbine several times as something that they started doing before your documentary was filmed. Did you hear anything about the Hell House in Chicago where they were talking about using the Pulse nightclub as a room in their Hell House?
No, I haven't. Awful.
Well, the good news is they didn't. That was canceled. But yeah, it was.
They're going to do it in an elementary school.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yep. Yeah, that made its way around Facebook for a little bit, but it was just one of those. I was like, oh, the timing of this could not be more perfect.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, it's very, you know, it's funny because they, you know, they get excited, think they have their, you know, finger on the pulse of sort of what's happening now by reflecting, you know, the current news, and it's kind of sad and funny and awful. But
yeah. It does bring up another question. Do you know what the typical age is of somebody who's going to be going to one of these? Because I feel that, you know, younger children going to something like this doesn't sound like a great idea.
Is there a cutoff age? Like you can't be under a certain age? I mean, because in the film, I mean, some of it looks really horrific. Some of it just looks like hokey, honestly.
Some of it looks horrific in the sense of their makeup and acting was just terrifying.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's actually, it's bad theater, and it's not scary for, you know, the intentional purposes. It's the undercurrent of why they're doing it is what is kind of the most frightening. But, as far as it's very effective, though, to the people that go through it, and those are little kids in there. I think that you're supposed to be 7 to go through it, but obviously kids of all ages kind of would go through. And most of the people who attended were sort of groups gathered by youth leaders.
That's what I was wondering.
For a fun night and go to see a spooky house, you know.
Right.
You know, there'd be sort of busloads of kids from around.
So is it kind of preaching to the choir then, do you think? I mean, because this is a mega church, right? This is a huge church. Is it primarily coming from there?
It's not one of the bigger mega churches. This was, it was over 2,000 members. But so it was a big church. But everyone within the church certainly would go through, but so many people worked on the Hell House. I mean, they all, it's like a barn raising when they do this.
With a lot of child labor, it looked like.
What's that?
With a lot of child labor, it looked like. There was a lot of young people using
power
tools.
All free labor.
Right.
It's all free child labor, you know, but, and tax free.
Right.
There's a lot of kids, but you know, everyone sort of joining up and they get really excited because this church is an Assembly of God church, which is kind of a branch of the Pentecostal.
Oh, I know that. So, I know that one well. Actually, I spent 9 months in an Assembly of God college.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
don't ask.
There you go. So a lot of the things, like the rave scene, all the kids wanted to do the rave scene. because they get to dance and they get to sort of act drunk and act like they're on drugs and act like they're going to get it on later in the night. You know, they all love that scene.
It's like cosplay for evangelicals, I guess.
Right?
That's so sad.
This is hitting me on so many levels. I do cosplay and the haunted house in general. My parents grew up helping them with a haunted house, and so there's a part of this that's just almost insulting.
So the numbers, from what I saw, now I guess I'm unsure how long this runs. I mean, it's not just one or two nights, right? Because they said it's like 10,000 people. Can that be correct? That go through this?
Yeah. Well, you know, it runs for the whole of October.
Okay.
Oh wow.
I mean, I think it starts the first weekend in October and then runs up until Halloween. But, you know, it's just on the weekends until, I think, the final week before Halloween. I don't remember, but it runs weeks prior. And, they had, just that year, there was 12,000 people or so that went through.
That's amazing.
And just kind of a loose statistic. And this is, so the way the Hell House works, so it's the, you know, a dozen or so little scenes, and then the final scene is the gates of heaven,
mm-hmm.
or the penultimate scene is the gates of heaven, where God rejects all these kids, and then they all run into hell, or get dragged into hell by more demons, and so you see these 12 kids from the scenes being tortured by Satan, and right when Satan's about to take the audience, this light comes on from a door opening, and a voice says, come quick, before he gets you, and everyone runs into a room, and it's a little fluorescent lit room, and this pastor has 7 minutes to save your soul. And so, because in 7 minutes, another group's going to come through, because it's like a rotation. Every 7 minutes, they're shifted through the rooms. And so this pastor, you know, gives this really hard sell.
I remember that scene.
If you get hit by a bus tonight and you think you might go to hell, you better go through this room right now. We have counselors waiting to pray for you. And so scared kids would run into the room, and then, you know, a bunch of people are waiting there to grab them and start praying on them, and then, like, get them to sign up into the church.
Yep.
And, you know, what I saw, one of five would go through the door.
Really? That's
about 20%.
Huh.
But you have to also remember that most people didn't go through the door because they are already considered themselves Christian.
Oh, I suppose.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask, do you know about the percentage of people who reconverted? Because I think he said his name was John, helped with the Hell House, and then converted again or went through that door to be saved.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, a silly thing. I think probably had my soul saved a dozen times by the time I was 16. You know, it's one of those things that happens a lot, you know.
Right.
So a lot of people would re-up, you know, go through the door and re-up because they felt scared, like they sort of dropped the ball or, you know,
huge
or started
peer pressure.
Something else for a minute.
Right.
So we're coming up on our next break, so please stay with us through the break, and we'll continue our talk with George Ratliff on the other side. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Make the connection. I'm Lori Fitz, host of Connections Radio Show, talking about ideas that matter. Join me and my guests as we reflect on a wide range of topics that challenge us to see ourselves, our community, and the world around us in ways that get us thinking, connected, and perhaps inspired or challenged to do just a bit more because we made the connection. Be a part of our conversation, Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to my Wall of Power Radio Hour, featuring music, culture, and entertainment, and cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states, every Saturday night from 6 to 7 p.m. on AM 950.
Someday, the high and the mighty will fall. There will be no power brokers, the Wall of Power will fall.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheists Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for mostly sunny skies today with a high near 50. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 44. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 62. And Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high around 59. The Electric Fetus is having their Halloween sale where you can take 20% off your purchase store-wide. They have new and used vinyl, CDs, DVDs, clothing, jewelry, unique gifts, and much more. So come into the Electric Fetus now through Halloween to get 20% off. Located at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and at efetus.com.
Halloween is a time of year that drives conservative Christians crazy. It's a holiday that has a varied origin, but is generally pagan in its beginnings. Many churches cannot stop trying to convert the rest of us, and hell houses are their attempt to do that. Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. If you have a question or comment, please call us at 952-946-6205 or email at radio@mnatheist.org. I'm Scott Lohman. Many of you know about this show by listening to us live on the air, streaming live on your computer, or listening to us as a podcast. Please make a donation at minnesotaatheist.org or contact us at info@minnesotaatheist.org. Any amount you can donate, no matter how large or small, helps. So, we've got Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists, the Humanists of Minnesota, Farmers and Cucumbers Restaurant. If you would like to advertise on this program, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. So check the schedule and look for book clubs, discussion groups, pub crawls, movie nights, and other gatherings throughout the year, as well as sign up for meetups, listen to podcasts of previous programs, subscribe to Atheist Weekly email, and become a member, all at minnesotaatheist.org. You can also join the Humanists of Minnesota at humanistsofmn.org. And now back to our final segment with George Ratliff.
So George, during the break, we were talking, we were thinking about like the finances of this. I mean, if there's like 12,000 people going through, this is a charged event, right? You have to pay to get in.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you remember how much that was, or give us an estimate?
Well, I mean, you do the math. If 10,000 people went in there at $7 a pop, they made $70,000 or so.
Wow. And of course, it's all tax deductible, and you have children that are working for nothing without any kind of eye protection or anything else, I noticed. So
it was so hard for me to watch the kids going into the little fog machine area where they're going to be pumping that and going, ventilation!
No ventilation!
Ventilation!
Oh, not to mention that they had actual guns. Those are real firearms.
Those were real?
Those were real, yeah.
Yeah.
It was all crazy. And, all the Tool. I mean, there was no. They were able to, you know, to avoid a lot of oversight, and you know, but their churches do that stuff all the time.
Yeah, because right. Dan, didn't you mention when we watched it that if they had gunfire, they had to have a waiver for people to sign? Did they have that?
You do in the theater or anything like that, and there's permits that need to be pulled, city permits and things. I don't know. Maybe they get around all that too. I don't know.
Well, they were worried they were going to get in trouble, and you know, they had their one sort of guy that was a Dallas police sergeant who sort of oversaw the guns and made sure they were safe and everything. But you know, part of that's just Texas gun culture, which is crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
There's lots and lots of unsafe things going on.
So with maybe $70,000 coming in, earlier you mentioned that you thought that most of these people really are, I mean, it's being done because of the reasons we've been talking about, and it's not just primarily a financial windfall for this church?
You can ask that about any aspect of these churches. They make tons of money. They don't pay taxes. It's a great deal, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard for you or I to understand that tithing works, that that members of this church give 10% of whatever they make over to the church.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say I don't understand how churches ever fail. I mean, when you get 10% of you know, somebody's finances going to you, and your product is something you don't ever have to deliver on, it seems like you should really be able to do well.
It's the best deal possible, but and there's no taxes. They sit on these the real estate. You know, and they don't pay taxes. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, but. It's another great money-making venture for them. It's all free labor. It's donated materials, and it's just a windfall. Hmm. You know, and when I finished the documentary, one of the ways I got them to let me shoot them is I said, listen, when I'm finished, I'll sit and watch it with you, you know, kind of meaning that.
How did that feel?
I wouldn't be able to do that if I were going to completely destroy them or something. Because I said that I'm not going to talk about like what I believe with you or in the documentary, and there's not going to be any voiceover narrative. It's going to be what you do is what's on the screen, and I'll sit and watch it with you. And they let me do it. So when I finished, I had to go back and show them the documentary. And you know, we had a big screening in New York when I finished, and it was like a comedy, and it was a big raucous screening, and everyone loved it. And then we took it to Dallas, and they had converted the big church cafeteria into a screening room with three screens on it and three projectors, and there were hundreds of people mobbed in there, and they wanted to sell tickets to make money.
Really?
And I didn't let them. I said this is a free screening. There's no tickets being sold to make money for the church.
Yes.
And they quietly sold concessions at the back.
Really? Oh, they just can't stop themselves.
What's that?
They just can't stop themselves, can they?
No, they can't. They can't. But I was actually very nervous for that screening. And we watched the movie, and they all laughed at it too, because for
really?
Them it was like kind of a home movie. But they laughed at totally different parts. It was crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
Speaking of parts to laugh at, Dan, you had brought this up earlier before we started. There were some of the parts that we just thought were funny, things like for the Black Mass scene that featured like a Jewish star instead of the standard pentagram. I guess you could almost say common misconceptions they have about the symbolisms, and that they don't even do their research on these.
Oh yeah, no, it was very funny. There's, you know, one of the There's lots of funny characters in the movie, but one was the rave scene guy, Thad, you know, who was like the drug expert because he really lived that life and everything. But yeah, he didn't know the names of any drugs, or you know, it was kind of very clear that he really, you know, didn't know anything. But so that was very funny because he's teaching all the kids like how to be in a rave and. you know, that's very funny. And then, yeah, the occult scene where, you know, they know nothing about anything, but they just think, you know, that they all wear black and they have these, you know, these pentagrams everywhere. But they, yeah,
they've watched movies too.
Stars of David.
Right.
When I was in the college, that was a big problem I had was I grew up in the middle of the city and a lot of the people grew up in the middle of the country. And so I had experiences with people who described themselves as Wiccan. And so it was just so funny to hear these people talking about, oh, my uncle found all this stuff in the barn. And I'm looking going, you're talking about the tree huggers, right? like seriously, these guys are tree huggers.
So we're kind of running short on time, but I did want to mention at least you have a couple other movies out too, Salvation Boulevard and Joshua. Do you want to mention or talk about them very briefly? And then, Making Hell House, directly have impact on the decision to make these two movies?
Yes. I mean, you know, I've promised my wife not to make any more religious themed movies because, you know, they're tricky. They're very tricky. It's tricky with audience, but I don't know if I can keep that promise. But Salvation Boulevard is another movie. It's kind of a comedy thriller that takes place within a mega church, okay. And it has Pierce Brosnan playing a mega pastor. And,
that sounds fun.
And Joshua is a bad seed story. It's a great little thriller with Sam Rockwell and Vera Farmiga playing the parents.
I saw the trailer for that one, and it's on my list for Halloween this year.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's another good Halloween movie.
Excellent.
Hell House is a fun Halloween movie. It's because it's very, very scary in ways that you're not expecting.
Right.
And so where can people find information about you on the web?
I'd say go to IMDb to find me or Google me. I'm afraid I don't have. I just can never create my own website. I just can't do it. But
So you do have a Twitter handle, though, right?
I do. I'm on Twitter. Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. Yes.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, thank you, George. It's been great having you on. Is there any last words you want, a wisdom you want to tell us about doing Hell House?
You should go through. It's nothing but entertaining, and see what they're doing, how they're shaping minds right now. It's like stepping back into the Middle Ages.
Yeah, because I know we have several around here. Okay, so thank you for being on the program. Also, want to mention that the music for Atheist Talk is composed by member Brent Michael Davids. At this point, well, actually, we got about another minute we can sneak in because I thought I needed more time than I did. So, you guys got one more question or two?
I guess you talked about how maybe we want to have him on again.
Oh yeah. George, would you be interested in possibly coming on again for talking about Sunset Boulevard or Salvation Boulevard?
Oh, you bet.
Oh, awesome. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining us, and your movie Hell House was just absolutely
revelatory.
Revelatory. Thank you. I'm like loss of words. It's just, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
And what is your plans for Halloween, just out of curiosity? Will you be just doing the standard waiting on kids?
Oh, well, we are in a new city, new town, and my kids are definitely dressing up and trick-or-treating.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
As actual scary proper Halloween things.
Oh, so like ghosts and goblins and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going as I don't know.
They're doing the whole Eddie Munster Stormtrooper.
Nice. Nice.
Route, but yeah.
Yep, my work actually makes me laugh because we're not technically allowed to dress up, so I'm not dressing up as Pam Poovy from Archer.
Well, that's good. I'm glad of
that's
that.
Good. That's
and I'm
good.
Certainly not dressing up as a bad hombre. So.
Okay. So thank you very much, George. It's been great having you on. And people can find your movies out there, especially the ones that are just coming out. So we encourage people to check those out. I want to thank you for tuning into Atheist Talk. I'm Scott Lohman. And joining me today was Hertzy Hertz and Dan Hansen. This show depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, and donors. Join us again next Sunday. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at mfatheist.org. The broadcast for the show will be on the radio page later today. This has been Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stay tuned for the American Atheist Program.
The Neil Larson Financial Hour airs every weekend, bringing you the latest updates in retirement financial issues. Hi, this is Neil Larson. I have more than 40 years' experience, and each week I offer informed financial tips and strategies to ensure you make safe investments. For more personalized advice to maintain a stable income after retirement, contact me at 952-303-3232.
The Neil Larson Financial Hour, Saturdays at noon with a replay Sundays at 7 a.m., only on AM 950.
Make the connection. I'm Lori Fitz, host of Connections Radio Show, talking about ideas that matter. Join me and my guests as we reflect on a wide range of topics that challenge us to see ourselves, our community, and the world around us in ways that get us thinking, connected, and perhaps inspired or challenged to do just a bit more because we made the connection. Be a part of our conversation. Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your Atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click Here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello, and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, October 30th, 2016. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you, as always, for joining us. Interesting story this week that I really think deserves a little bit of unpacking here. I'm a big fan of the Southern Poverty Law Center. I think that the Southern Poverty Law Center does some really important work highlighting extremism as we see it here in the United States. So whether that's the way that they got their start, working primarily with racist extremists, so the KKK, the people going around attacking African Americans who were attempting to vote, intimidation, all that. This was critically important work. And what came out this week is a listing that they did of what they're calling anti-Muslim extremists. And I don't think that any of us could say with a straight face that there is not a huge amount of anti-Muslim bias here in the United States. There are people who make their money, and take their time to attack Muslims as unpatriotic, as unable to be a part of the American experience, as unworthy of citizenship, as somehow dangerous in all cases. That's horrifying and runs counter to anything that any of us, would stand for, or we have a responsibility as atheists and as people who value free expression. We have an obligation to speak up when we see things like that, and to repudiate that when it comes from people within our own community. When this is a problem. But what they've done on this list is highlight two people that, in particular, shouldn't be on there, and lump them in with people who, have every right to call out and to highlight. So, in the midst of people like, Pam Geller and Frank Gaffney, people who put up billboards in the Washington D.C. subway, questioning the patriotism of American Muslims, or talk about the Muslim Brotherhood infiltrating the highest levels of government, and said that President Obama was secretly a Muslim. In the midst of these folks, they have Ayaan Hirsi Ali and Majid Nawaz. This is crazy, and this is fundamentally damaging to the cause of calling out and highlighting anti-Muslim bigotry that actually exists. In the case of Majid in particular, one of the things that the Southern Poverty Law Center highlights is that in 2014, he tweeted out a cartoon, a Jesus and Mo cartoon, that is an image of Jesus and Muhammad standing there saying, "Hey, how's it going?" and "Hi." If this is the measure of anti-Muslim bigotry that the Southern Poverty Law Center thinks is necessary to include in what they call their field guide to anti-Muslim bigotry and anti-Muslim extremism, we really need to question what the heck is going on at the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're comparing him to people who, at the Value Voter Summit, go around saying that Muslims can't be trusted, and that, that Muslims are trying to outbreed us and that they're a cancer on our society. Comparing Majid and Ayaan Hirsi Ali to these people is, in the words of Majid, putting a target on his head, where he's not an atheist. He is a Muslim. He's trying to reform Islam from within, and taking their activism and taking him saying this cartoon in particular isn't offensive, and turning that into an attack on Islam is doing a disservice to what should be an important issue for all of us, and that is standing up against bigotry. You can take issue with his story, and they say that his story doesn't quite add up, or that people have contested it. Well, of course people have contested his story. These are people who he was with in Egypt who may not like that he's trying to reform Islam. Of course they're going to attack him in some way. But, we have better things to do, I think, than call people Islamic extremists who are trying to, or excuse me, anti-Muslim extremists, when what they're trying to do is reform reform ideologically what is a very real issue, and that is the issue of Islamism. And, you know, the issue is not necessarily with Islam per se, it's with Islamism. And that, I think, is what we need to be focused on. The other thing that I just want to highlight here is the Southern Poverty Law Center almost put out like kind of a hit piece here saying that Nawaz describes himself as a feminist but was, quote, filmed repeatedly trying to touch a naked lap dancer. That to them is an indication, in some way, that he is an anti-Muslim extremist. I don't understand. The Southern Poverty Law Center has really misfired badly on this one. I want to quote, I want to read a little bit from Sarah Hader, who is one of the leaders of the ex-Muslims of North America. She wrote a really important piece that I would encourage everyone to take a look at. If you go to their website, it's theexmuslim.com. She writes, "Perhaps in more competent hands, a report such as this may have been a useful guide for journalists with little time to spend on background research. However, the one produced by the Southern Poverty Law Center is neither reliable nor factual, and often steers closer to the category of yellow journalism than anything worth serious consideration." That is an indictment of the Southern Poverty Law Center in a way that I think is really important here. The Southern Poverty Law Center needs to be on the side of truth and needs to be on the side of accuracy. And in the case of Ayan and Majid, they most certainly aren't. The Southern Poverty Law Center, I think, needs to do a better job of not just looking at people who are critical of Islam in general, but also speak to people who have left Islam, speak to the ex-Muslims. And I think that one of the things we see whenever this debate comes up is that folks who are trying to call out anti-Muslim bigotry often ignore the very real problems within Muslim communities. And that's not just me saying that. That's people from ex-Muslims of North America, people who, like Sarah, who are well-positioned to criticize some of the things that happen in those communities. So I think they need to do a better job of listening to the people who've actually been impacted. But that's all the time I have for this week. I want to thank you, as always, for joining us for the American Atheist Viewpoint. For more information about our work or to become a member, visit www.atheists.org. As I mentioned previously, we have a donor match going on right now, where if you become a monthly sustaining member of American Atheists, your contributions will be matched dollar for dollar for the first year. You can learn more about that at atheists.org/monthly. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Have a safe and happy Halloween, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.